Hello, everybody. Welcome to Interview with the Horror Virgin. It has been a while, but James is back. I'm here. I've got new movies to show. And our very first guest, please introduce yourself.
I'm Tara.
How are you doing, Tara?
I'm doing well. How are you?
Well, I'm so glad to finally have somebody back for the show. It's been a while. I've had a lot going on. I'm glad you're the first person to come back.
I'm so excited.
I'm glad. Yeah. Now, before I get into the reveal of the movie, because it took a while to kind of find a film that she hasn't seen, let's get a little knowledge about Tara and how she feels about horror films. So, like, give me some of your horror knowledge. Like, how do you feel?
Okay. So, I love scary movies, but I don't have, like, a lot of knowledge on them. So, I was born in 78. So my first horror movies were, you know, Your Exorcist, Your Nightmare on Elm Street, Your Children of the Corn. I'm from Illinois, so it's all corn there. So Children of the Corn for us was like real.
I bet you steered clear of cornfields whenever you drove because
we couldn't. We had to walk to like the school bus stop and through a corn, like by a cornfield.
Oh, did you have to like worry about the corn taking you going out? Oh, God.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah, so you just got to see some of the films, like The Exorcist, when, like, I would say films during the 70s, just a fun little, like, nerdy fact. That was kind of like the Wild West for films. Exorcist was one of them. You've heard the stories about William Friedkin, but tonight we're not watching The Exorcist. We're going to be watching another famous film, which I probably consider to be in my top three films, which changed the horror genre forever, and it is The Texas Chainsaw Massacre, 1974. We're not doing 2003. Don't even mention that in my presence. This is a very huge film because it is probably like one of the best films that's ever aired in Texas as well.
Okay, well, I've never seen it, so I don't know. Just even looking at the like the picture of it, like the movie poster scares me.
Oh yeah, like I've got the box of the movie because we'll be watching it later. Here, take a look at it real quick and just like see, like how do you feel after just like looking at the picture of it?
I'll tell you how I feel, and because. Like, my mom was the mayor of the town I grew up in, and one of their big fundraisers was a very small town, Illinois, 700 people, we did haunted houses every year. We take an old barn, and that was their big fundraiser. And, you know, the last thing at the very end is, you know, you're being chased with the chainsaw. And that just scared me to death. So I never watched the show because it's just, I'm terrified.
Well, that's pretty good because there is that always that staple in haunted houses or scare houses now. There's always somebody with a chainsaw. And you can thank, I think, Texas Chainsaw Massacre for this because this is the film that had changed the horror genre for a very long time. I know people talk about Halloween, how it like changed the slasher genre, but this is the one that I think really gave way to the slasher genre because it was during like exploitation time of films. You know, you had, you know, the three big things. You had sex, you had gore, and you had like, you know, all sorts of like just random stuff happening because they usually just had simple plot lines. Some guy going around killing people. You know, a girl would occasionally flash her breasts on the screen during like a gratuitous sex scene. But that's just how it was for those like exploitation films. And you would see them at the drive-ins all the time.
Right.
And I don't know if you ever, like, saw any exploitation films growing up, especially, I know it was, like, you know, 78 and all that for you, but I think exploitation films were gone at that point because, like I said, this was 74 when this came out, and that's when I think, like, exploitation films kind of were starting to die out.
Okay. Well, what about, like, your, like, Friday the 13th and...
That was the 80s.
Okay. Okay, okay. So, but did they have any, like, of that in them with, like, the naked chick running through the woods or...
Not naked chicks running through the woods, but you did get to see Kevin Bacon's butt, and that was there you go,
yeah,
very young Kevin Bacon's butt in you know Friday the 13th. There you guys go. It's like there's just something about it. It's like when you see Arnold Schwarzenegger's, you know, dong swinging back and forth during Terminator when you first see him. You're just like, there we go. We saw the naked Austrian governor. I can die happy. Sorry, we're getting off topic, but. It's been a while, like I said, so I'm trying to, like, you know, make sure we're all having fun here. And like I said, Tara's new to seeing Texas Chainsaw, but I've seen Texas Chainsaw so many times. Now, how much of, like, you know, slasher films have you seen? Now that I was mentioning the slasher genre and everything, now when a slasher film is, you're probably wondering, correct?
Yes.
Basically, there's one person, and he takes out people one at a time.
Okay, so, like, Halloween?
Halloween is a slasher film.
Okay, so I feel like I've seen all of them.
Okay.
And, you know, the old Halloweens, the old Friday the 13th, the old Nightmare on Elm Street. So would that be?
Yeah, that's a slasher because he's taking them out one at a time.
Okay, okay. Yeah, so I've seen all of those. But, you know, I think that your horror you know, knowledge goes way beyond that scope. You know, I think, like, everybody has seen those.
Oh, yeah. I saw those at a very young age, probably when I had no business seeing these.
Right.
But I still watch them anyway. I remember, like, just a quick little story. I remember watching Nightmare on Elm Street by myself in my grandparents' basement.
Yes.
And I'm like...
The first one?
Yeah, I have to go upstairs now.
Yes.
It's dark.
Yes.
I might just sleep down
sing,
here.
Did you sing 1, 2, Freddy's coming for you?
That wasn't it. It was the, oh God, it was when I think Nancy fell asleep for the first time, and that's when
I love Nancy.
I know. She's like a great person, but you're going to love Sally in this.
Okay.
She's like, you know, that survivor girl in this film as well. And you're going to meet probably the most hated handicapped person in a horror film, and I can't believe I'm saying that.
Gosh.
But if you actually, I'm telling you, there are people that actually hate. His name's Franklin, and he plays Sally's brother in the film.
Okay.
They call him an invalid, but he is paralyzed from the waist down.
Mm-hmm.
He's in a wheelchair, and he's probably the most hated person in like horror history that is handicapped, because most of the time you're just like, oh, they're not gonna really kill somebody in a wheelchair, right? And then by the end of it, you're just like, please kill this guy. He's so annoying. He whines so much, and that's the thing. I know that sounds very horrible, but yeah.
Like, can you get this guy, put him in front of the door so he gets whacked first?
Yeah, he was kind of like that, and it has some cool shots as well. Now the whole thing was directed by Tobe Hooper, mm-hmm. and this was like probably his like big thing that mm-hmm. really got his name into the horror world as well, because like I said, he changed horror forever when he came up with the Texas Chainsaw Massacre, from the way it was shot, to the killer, to survivors, all that good stuff. And he even wrote it, too.
Okay. Is it a true story or no?
Now, the cool thing about Texas Chainsaw Massacre, I was going to save this for later, but I want to get this out of the way now. It actually was based on true events. However, it's not exactly a true story. Like, for instance, these are not real people. Leatherface is based on someone. The house that you'll see in this film is based on an actual serial killer in America who is probably one of the most grotesque serial killers to date. Like, the most macabre. Think of him as... his name was Ed Gein, or Gein. And he basically was the inspiration for Psycho, as well as Buffalo Bill in Silence of the Lambs. He had mommy issues... And he felt like a woman. And he actually would grave rob.
Gosh, I feel like I know somebody like that.
I know. Thank you. Thank you so much. I totally have a nighttime job of, you know, going around making a skin suit.
I didn't mean you, but...
I thought you were. No, but... That's his history about it, and that's why I talk about it. I was going to mention it because it is going to talk about this in like a brief little thing about, you know, but the way it's set up and told is absolute gold, because it sends shivers down your back thinking, oh, wow, this is a true story. It feels like a true story or something, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But
I'm so excited. I mean, I'm kind of nervous. I don't know if the atmosphere... here is making me nervous, but I'm a little nervous.
Yeah, we're basically doing the podcast in a new location, guys. We're actually in one of the oldest buildings in McDonough, and it's called the Globe Hotel. It's super haunted as well, so hopefully the spirits will want to join in with us. I hope I don't scare them with what I'm about to show poor Tara here as well.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. What's some of like your things in horror films that just makes you absolutely cringe up? Because I know my biggest thing has to do with like Italian films, and it's the Lucio Fulci trifecta, which is the teeth, nails, and eyeballs.
Oh.
He loves to do that in like, you know, his Italian horror films, and I call it the acronym 10, teeth, eyes, nails.
Okay.
That when those three things are affected in slow ways, I'm just like, oh, God. But like, what are some of your things in like horror films that makes you like, you know, tense up?
So I'll tell you, like the sound, the music, and sound effects for me. My husband and I were going on a road trip, and I was watching a horror show, and I was using my Bose ear pods, you know, and they're like, you know, super good. So, you know, I've got them in, and we're going down the road, and I'm watching this show on my phone, and I'm like, the sound of the meaty sound when the knife's going into the, you know, like the guts and the...
Oh, like the sound effects.
The sound effects, yeah. Like the, just like the guts and the...
Bones breaking,
yeah,
guts just, you know.
Yeah, and the shriek of the knife and the, you know, all those sound effects. Like, they really get to me, you know, and I'm like listening and I'm, oh, And so it's the sound effects for me that really, like, put me into the movie.
I got you, because, like, that's kind of like how you were talking about with, like, Nightmare on Elm Street and how, like, when Freddy comes to you, that's, like, the whole screeching with the metal.
Yeah, that. Oh, man. I can't even hear. That gets me every time.
Ooh, nice. Okay, well, I think all the questions have been answered and asked here as well. Tara, how are you feeling? Are you getting ready to want to just jump right in and start watching it soon?
Yeah, I'm ready.
All right, well, we're going to watch the Texas Chainsaw Massacre, guys, and as soon as we get done, we'll be right back on. All right, everybody, we're back. Tara has seen Texas Chainsaw Massacre, and I know she's probably itching to say a lot, so I'm going to hand the mic over to her. Give me your whole spiel on your reaction to the Texas Chainsaw Massacre.
So, for it being filmed in 1974, I love the writing, and you can tell that they put actually some money into the budget. Like, the details of it were really great. The scare factor in it was pretty awesome, too. I did jump a little bit. I did get some goosebumps a couple of times. That face.
Leatherface.
Ugh. I don't understand why, you know, everybody talks about Jason and Michael and Freddy and you know, they have all those costumes and stuff. But they need to have that, because that face, and when he, like, licks his lips and you can see his teeth, oh my God, it was so gross. You could hear it. And then, like, the pig noises. And in the very first scene, when they come into the house, and it sounds like there's, like, a pig or something behind the door, and then he pops out. and then just grabs him up, and the door slams. Oh, man. Ugh. I was like, crap.
So you would say that it delivered as a horror film.
Yeah, it definitely did.
So you don't think, do you think it has, like, it has it aged well?
It has. Yeah, definitely. You know, sometimes you look back at horror films over the years and you're like, oh my God. Like, is that even scary? You know, or, like, people were afraid of this. So even I do sometimes go back and watch some of the original of the, like, you know, multiple ones. And I'm like, I was scared of that, you know?
Yeah, I understand, because I know how, like, for instance, let's say, like, The Exorcist. It's been parodied so much that I'm afraid that, like, the scare and the creepiness isn't really there that much. Because, I mean, for some people, maybe, but, yeah, like, it's been parodied so many times, right, from just, like, movies like Scary Movie to even, like, you know, mm-hmm, adult cartoons that, right, they'll, like, you, right, know, they'll parody it because of the bed scene. They'll even parody, like, you know, iconic stuff from, like, Psycho, the shower swing. That has been parodied so many times that it's just ridiculous.
But I feel like this one, I mean, even, you know, Exorcist, you can go, it's still scary to me,
mm-hmm,
the original one. But I feel like this one has kind of lasted the time. I don't even know if I want to see the
2003 one,
because I feel like it would just mess it up for me.
So there's some people that do like it. I mean, like, I do like the sheriff that's in it. Arlie Ermey. He was the sheriff. If you never know who Arlie Ermey is.
Uh-uh.
Have you ever seen Full Metal Jacket?
Oh, yeah.
He's the guy that's pretty much yelling at everybody. He goes, oh, you maggots, you know.
Yeah.
Private, you know, Pyle. He improvised a lot in that as well, because mm-hmm, he was a real drill sergeant.
Right.
And he's in there as well, and he plays a sheriff of everything else in there. But, I mean, it's not bad. It's nothing amazing. I don't really care for the remake that much, because I'm a slave to the old stuff at times. But mm-hmm, the cool thing was, it actually was also co-written by Tobe Hooper as well for the remake.
Oh, okay, cool.
It wasn't bad. Now, some cool little fun facts. There were actually multiple Texas Chainsaw Massacre movies that came out after the first one.
Oh.
And people like them. If you are a fan, I say this very loosely, if you are a fan of The Breakfast Club, I would suggest watching the second one. And the reason I say that, if you actually look at the poster of the Texas Chainsaw Massacre 2, they are in The Breakfast Club pose.
Really?
Even Leatherface is doing, like, the fist up.
Really?
In the back, yes.
That's cool. That's
this. It's the same characters, too. Okay. The uncle, the two brothers, they're back. And then you have the best acting I've ever seen from Dennis Hopper in the second film.
Really?
Who has gone crazy in that film. And I'm just like, is Dennis Hopper huffing something again? Is he on, is he on drugs? Like, he's been on his all of his films.
Definitely all of his films.
Yeah. Now, for, like, the original, there was a total of, like, four. Okay. The third one, I would say, is decent.
Okay.
I would say watch it if you want to. It's just kind of interesting. The fourth one is god-awful. And it's also... It stars Matthew McConaughey in it too.
No, it
does. Yes, it does.
Really?
Yes, it
is
does.
Is he like one of the guys who gets killed?
Yeah, or? No, he's one of like the family, the crazy family members. And it's called Texas Chainsaw Next Generation. And it's just, it's so bad. They don't do anything except just scream for the whole film, and they've just got the terrible dialogue.
What is this, like early on his career? Or
I would say it's early in his career.
So, from the original, did any of those people go on to, like, become, like, famous actors or actresses?
Not really. I meant, like, the actress that played Sally, I don't think she really did anything after that. Okay. Now, the Texas Chainsaw Massacre movie that's on Netflix right now, that's actually a direct sequel to the first one.
Okay.
Like, storyline. Uh-huh. Now, the actress that did play Sally, she had passed away long before this came out, mm-hmm. But they have her character come, like, reprise her character, excuse me, in that.
Okay.
I mean, it's decent. I'll give it that. It's better than whatever Texas Chainsaw Massacre that came out in 2013, where Leatherface has family members now, like distant family members, like cousins. Uh-huh. And there's a line in that one that I absolutely just loathe, where like the sheriff or like the town's the bad guys, and all of a sudden Leatherface becomes like an anti-hero. And then she throws the chainsaw to Leatherface and says, "Do your thing, cuz." And I was like, ready to punch the TV.
No.
I was so mad at this. I was like, Leatherface isn't good. He eats people. He does chainsaw stuff. We don't need to do this. But I'm sorry. I go off on a little bit of a tangent.
So I'm trying to remember really quick. The girl who they put in the freezer, she didn't die, did she?
Yeah, she died. Okay. She was food.
Oh, gross. I think that was her face hanging in the end.
It might have. You never know.
The dinner table?
Like all stitched up in the mouth and the eyes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now, since we're mentioning, like, you know, one of the scenes that got you, what's probably, like, the scariest scene for you in this entire film?
Well, when he first came out, but when she was crawling through the room, mm-hmm. and, like, all the bones were around her, and you could see, like, the dog bone and the teeth and the femur and all. I mean, there were several, you know, like when she had finally got away and she got to the gas station and there was like the meat on the like rotisserie and you could tell it was, and like things started clicking like, oh crap, like that's human and he's related to the other hillbillies. And so like there are lots of ones.
But you would say probably the first encounter with Leatherface is the one that got you.
Yeah, and then him, it's like up close when he's like opening his mouth and licking his lips.
Yeah, all that.
I'm going to see that when I go to bed tonight.
You're welcome. You're welcome. Well, fun fact, that's actually considered to be one of the scariest horror movie moments ever, is when Leatherface first is seen, because it happens fast, there's no shock music or anything.
Right.
And he just appears, he hits him, and it's the twitching. Like an animal that gets people, because
he really twitched good.
He did too. And it's just like, oh, it's so bad. But there's also something, there's another scene. It's the meat hook scene.
Oh, yeah.
And that is considered the walkout scene for people. Mm-hmm. And actually what happened in movie theaters during when this was first released, mm-hmm. that's when they walked out.
Really?
The moment she was hooked, that was when they're like, done. And they walked out. That's why everyone considers that the walkout scene for most people.
Well, you know, funny you say that. Just a quick story. When I bought my house,
mm-hmm.
And we were, like, you know, the realtor was showing us the house, and we went into the basement, and you go down to the end of my basement, hanging on the wall, right when you come, is one of those meat hooks. And we were like, why would somebody have that? You know what I mean? So that's right what I thought when I seen that. I was like, oh my God, it's a meat hook. He's going to put her on it, you know?
Yeah, but the thing is, you don't hear it. That's the thing.
No.
And I think that's what makes it so much scarier, because in the remake, unfortunately, they do the same thing, mm-hmm. but you hear it. And I think it takes away, because this is my spiel with horror films here. Mm-hmm. When we try to remake stuff, we want to do more. Mm-hmm. We want to add more. We want to add more gore. We want to add more stuff. But sometimes it's the smallest things that can really change it up. You right. don't need all this stuff because I feel like it just it's too busy. Right. It works too much on the senses, like you were saying. Mm-hmm. Sound effects from the music, just mm-hmm. simple things like that creep you out. Mm-hmm. You don't need it to be too big.
Well, that first scene, there wasn't any like lead up to it. Like
no.
it kind of gotcha. You know, it was like, bam, he was there, and I'm covering my eyes.
Yeah.
There was no like quiet. There was no like you know, intense music sound, nothing, just a little squealing and then silence and then here he is.
Yeah. Well, now I've also mentioned before, previously in the podcast, before we started watching, about Ed Gein, right? Mm-hmm. Now he's probably like up there with like one of the most prolific serial killers that's in America, like right mm-hmm. up there with Richard Ramirez, the Zodiac Killer, John mm-hmm. Wayne Gacy, all that. However, I consider him to be the most grotesque because of what he did. And when she fell into that bone room, that's kind of what was in his house.
Yeah.
Human bones everywhere. Mm-hmm. He would grave rob. He actually made a human he made a chair out of human skin.
Ew.
Yeah. Like, that's why I say a lot of people, they got their inspiration for Psycho and Buffalo Bill from him, because he definitely had mommy issues. That very unhealthy mommy issues.
I'm going to have to look him up because I don't know that story.
Yeah, just look up Ed Gein. And
was he caught? Or
oh, yeah, he was caught.
Yeah.
Because they smelled something coming from his house, or there was a missing persons happening. I don't know the exact story, but when they found the missing person, she was pretty much strung up like a gutted deer when they found her. Like, yeah, basically from sternum down, opened up, hung upside down. And they found so many things. They found, like, I think it was like body parts in jars. Like, mm-hmm. he put, like, Jeffrey Dahmer to shame because he, like I said, he made stuff. Yeah. And his house was full of it. He grave robbed. I think he even grave robbed his mother's corpse. Ew. And kept it.
Oh, God.
And there was also some, I don't know if I can say this, but I'm going to say it anyway. There was hints of him practicing necrophilia as well.
Oh, God.
Yeah, so Ed Gein was like the biggest thing about this when they say this is based on true events. Mm-hmm. And how do you feel about that opening, too? You feel like that was like a really good, like, you know, exposition set
yeah.
for you?
Yes, definitely. Yeah, it was great. It was really, that's why I ask you, you know, like, what was the budget on this film?
You know? Yeah. It was $140,000.
Which in 1974, you know, was a lot.
That was a lot. I meant, like, if you even want to go back to some of these films that have these small budgets, as we say, mm-hmm. look at Night of the Living Dead. It probably had something, I think, less than that. But again, this was like, or I think it was like late 1960s, mm-hmm. and this was shot in black and white. But equivalent to that would be like $2 million if you, like, did the whole inflation and the new technology and everything. But the cool thing was, Texas Chainsaw Massacre grossed over $30 million worldwide.
Wow.
But it was banned in England for a very long time.
Really?
Yes, it was.
Because it was just too...
Yeah, it was too much. Even though, when you think about it, there really isn't that much of a chainsaw massacre, if you think about it.
Right, right.
There's only, like, one death, and it's Franklin's who gets killed by the chainsaw.
That's pretty great. It was great. I'm kind of glad he got it.
You glad? See, I told you, nobody likes Franklin in this film.
Gosh, no. He was such a jerk.
And he just whines constantly.
So is this where, like, people say, like, the saying, like, I want to wear your skin, or they want to wear your skin? Is that?
I don't know if it came from that specifically, but it might have had something to do with it, yeah. if you think about it.
Yeah.
And it was just everything about it. The house, the grandfather, you found out he was still alive, even though he just kind of sits up in the top floor
yeah. with
grandma's, you know, completely decomposed corpse.
Yes. Well, he was trying to get a whack at her head. He was trying. They kept putting it in there, and he kept trying to get her.
Mm-hmm. Now, after saying all these great things about it, what was just, like, something that you didn't like?
Probably the running, the girl running through the woods, running and
classic
running.
Trope.
Yeah, yeah. Like, there was a lot of that, you know.
Yeah, they wanted to, I guess, like, there is too much of running, I will say, in that. But you even, like, watch her face, and she does, like, the whole this, brings her hands up to her face and screams.
Right. She did a lot of screaming. Actually, at the end, I was like, I wonder... when they were filming this and they kept shooting it, like, is she drinking tea and lemon and honey? Because her voice had to be gone after screaming, because she's like, the last 3 minutes of the movie was just her. She was screaming
like, yes. blood, like blood curdling, I yes. would say.
And I thought the like her eyeballs, like the camera on her eyeballs And, you know, like, you could see, like, her eyelashes and the color of her eyes.
Bloodshot
really well. And I was like, I didn't get that whole thing, like, where that related into the movie. So that was my only, like, really, like, why are we doing these, like, real close-ups of her eyeballs and her eyelashes and, like, the really green in her eye. It took up the whole freaking screen. I didn't know where that came from.
I think it might have just been something to do with they wanted to, like, I guess, again, fill some space but show some terror at the same time. Okay. Like how much can you show terror with just one person screaming and them not doing anything yet?
Right.
Because now they usually come at you with, like, you know, a knife or something, and that's usually what gets you to scream.
Okay.
They're just watching her just scream in terror.
Okay.
So
the bloodshot and the...
They wanted to show fear, I guess. But it's just... I see that. Exploitation films, I guess, did that a lot.
Okay.
Of just, like, you know, close-ups on the face. Because, like, you were seeing with the zoom out.
Right.
With that as well. They get fancy with those things, even though you're just like, why did we just do, like, a tight shot out? Go from tight shot to, you know, full.
Right. I get that. Okay. That makes sense.
Just some cool, like, you know, filmography things and stuff like that. Okay. But, yeah.
Fancy words.
Oh, yeah, I'm about to say I got a film scholar and all that. Yeah, but Texas Chainsaw Massacre, definitely one of those, like I said, horror films that changed horror forever because it introduced the slasher genre, like, you know,
yes,
a big-time slasher genre as well because, you know.
I love it. It was great.
I'm glad. Now, would you definitely, like, recommend this to some people?
Yeah, I'm totally going to do it. Like, he might be my new favorite.
Awesome. Yeah, Leatherface is a big favorite of everybody, and it's even such a popular thing that, like, some of y'all noticed that I'm a gamer. They've actually come out with a Texas Chainsaw Massacre game where you play the family. You can either play the family or the people that are trying to get out of the house.
I want to be the family.
I know. Everyone wants to be the family because the only way to get out is to get down through the main area where Sally was and make your way there before they close the gate.
Oh.
And... You when you get hit, you start limping like her too. So and especially when you have all three of them chasing you.
Oh.
I've seen so many people just like, you know, go faster. It looks like a lot of fun. If you guys want to catch me on Twitch when the game comes out, I believe this fall, I'll be definitely streaming it. And because you got to play it. It's Texas Chainsaw Massacre.
I want to play that. I feel like I want to play it. We need to have a game night.
I could definitely stream it here.
Can we Twitch it here?
We can. Yeah, I could probably stream here and show it off. But yeah. Well, I'm glad you came on the show, Tara. If you ever want to come back and do another horror film, just let me know.
I will. Thank you guys for having me.
All right. Thank you guys so much. And, you know, keep them coming in and we'll be doing more stuff with Interview with a Horror Virgin.